Welcome to Torah Nimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shibra Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 8. In the last parak, we learned that Yehuda had a superstitious attitude toward the Beis HaMikdash and offering karbanos. They thought rituals would placate Hashem to give them a good life. They should have focused on following the laws as Hashem had set forth in the Torah. Hashem has tried to warn them, but they never listened. They have become so depraved that they even sacrifice their own children to Avodah Zarah. This parak continues with the punishment for the service of the Baal in which they sacrifice their children to the Avodah Zarah. At the time when this parak is talking about, all the bones of the kings and the prophets, who are the false prophets and the corrupt Kohanim, will be removed from their burial site and spread out under the very sun that they worshipped during their lifetime. The Gemara and the Rashi tells us the backstory to this event as it is not mentioned in Sefer Melachim. Ammon and Moab, the two countries surrounding Yehuda, wanted Yehuda destroyed, so they encouraged Nebuchadnezzar to attack. Nebuchadnezzar declined as there weren't appropriate quarters for his soldiers to live during a siege. Moab and Ammon suggested that the soldiers should empty the palatial mausoleums and live in the cemeteries during the siege. The Chaldean soldiers arrived and made themselves comfortable by throwing the corpses and the bones in these mausoleums outside into the sun to rot like garbage. The Mincha Gedola says this punishment, desecrating the bones in the sun, came because the nation didn't care about the children when they worshipped the Baal and burnt them to ash. The survivors see the desecration of the dead and the bloated corpses, and they are jealous. Verse 3. Their lives are so torturous in exile that v'nivchar maves mechayim, they would choose death rather than continue in the life they have. Yirmiyahu has an opening to address the nation directly. He asks them to reflect. Hayiplu v'lo yakumu? Has it ever happened in the past that man fell, that man was down and out, and Hashem didn't let him get up? Haven't people fallen multiple times? Im yashuv v'lo yashuv? If someone did teshuvah, did Hashem not accept the teshuvah? If the teshuvah would be accepted, then verse 5, Madua shovava ha'am hazeh Yerushalayim v'shuvah nitzachas. Why is this nation of in Yerushalayim always rebelling, a continuous, non-stop rebellion? They hold on to deceit and refuse to do teshuvah. The deceit that they hold on to, according to the Mincha Gedola, is their inability to admit their own faults. Because they are not honest with themselves, they can never do tshuva. The Malbim says something which we can relate to. They act like they are doing tshuva, but they never really change. It's just an act, so they're making Hashem happy. Or maybe they're making their families less angry when they act out, and then they have to step it back a little bit. But nothing fundamental ever changes, so the minute they have a chance to go back to their initial behaviors, they do so. The Navi sees this behavior as he walks among the people, and he pays attention, but, verse 6, Ein ish nicham al ra'aso, what he sees is that no man repents from his wickedness. Nobody's asking, what have I done? Nothing is ever their fault. The Mitzudas David adds, they don't think tshuva helps, and anyway, nothing they did is wrong. This is an immature response to their problems. The image that best captures this energy is Kisus Shotef Bamilchama, like a horse that rushes headlong into the battle. The horse is so excited to go, even though he may be running to his death. Likewise, the people are always running and rushing. They're always busy, and they have chosen to leave themselves very little time to pause and think. Just like the horse rushes into danger, their busyness and movement is leading them to do battle with their own demons. Yirmiyahu asks the people to look at a different animal, the bird, as a model. Birds are not logical beings, yet they have an instinct to survive. They migrate at specific times into specific locations each year. Gam chasid b'shamayim yada moedeha. The stork in the heaven knows her own schedule. It is one of the mysteries of nature how birds migrate to the exact same places each year. They don't say, hey, this year I'd like to go see the glaciers. Let me go north instead of south. How is it possible then that Ami, my nation, who are people who have a neshama and who have a connection to Hashem, don't have that level of self-preservation to avoid doing wrong so they can avoid punishment? Yirmiyahu continues with another example of how their lack of self-awareness is a problem. Verse 8. Echa somru, chachamim anachnu, v'soras Hashem itanu. How do you say we are wise and the Torah of Hashem is with us? The Radak says that they brag about their worldliness, which they feel helps them be better informed so they can make better decisions than those sheltered Nevi'im. In addition to their broad knowledge, they also know Torah Hashem, the Torah that Moshe gave, so they don't need any more help from that front either. Yirmiyahu assesses them differently. He tells them that what they know is false, and whatever they write is a waste of ink. These chachamim, the wise men who think they are so smart, will end up being embarrassed when everything they claim proves to be false. They can say they know Torah, but if they reject Devar Hashem, as it says in verse 9, then what they know has no value as it is not connected to any truth. After Yirmiyahu has told them that they are not as smart as they think, he lays out what is the consequence of this arrogance. The nation, from young to old, as we hear in this parak and have learned about in previous prakim, Mikaton v'ad gadol, kula botzea batza. From the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for profit. Without Torah to ground them, they are a materialistic and insincere, empty society. They are corrupt, taking from others that which doesn't belong to them. As a result, verse 10, Etain es neshehem le'acherim, sidosehem le'yorshim. Therefore, I will give their wives to others, and their fields to they that shall possess them. This message is violent, and should have caused a stir, but it doesn't have any impact. Every time the nation starts to feel twinges of regret, the Nevi'ei Sheker, v'yarpu es shever basami al nekala. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people lightly. The Nevi'ei Sheker take serious contemplation and dismiss it casually, lemor, saying, shalom, shalom, peace, peace. The Nevi'ei Sheker say that Nebuchadnezzar is not coming, the Beis HaMikdash won't be destroyed. This is not the case, v'ein shalom, there is no peace. The Nevi'ei Sheker should be ashamed of themselves, just as it says in the last parak, but they are not. The tragedy that is about to unfold because of their stubbornness and their lack of self-awareness is horrific. Verse 13. The first step, asof asifim, I will utterly destroy them, says Hashem. Next, ein alavim bagafen, ve'ein te'enim bate'ena, ve'ha'ale navel. There are no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf is faded. The land will be decimated. The trees that bear the most fruit in Israel will be empty. Finally, ve'etein lahem ya'avrum. The Mitzudas David interprets this phrase to mean, I will invite against them enemies who will take them from the world. The nation will be living in their land, completely unaware of the impending doom because of the predictions of the Nevi'ei Sheker, and they will suddenly wake up and realize that Nebuchadnezzar's army is approaching and they are completely vulnerable. They ask themselves in verse 14, Alma anachnu yoshvim, why are we just sitting here open for attack? They will decide it would make sense to gather into fortified cities. At this point, crowded into the besieged cities, they will be at a loss for words. They will be silent as they will finally recognize that they have sinned. They still live with some denial as they have hope for peace and hope for healing, but they don't hope that they can change. As a result, instead, there is only terror. From their top order, which is done, they hear the frightening sounds of war. Verse 16, Nachra Susav, the snorting of his horses, Mikol Mitzalos Abirav, sound of the neighing of his strong ones. The whole land is trembling with fright as the armies descend joyfully to destroy the land and everyone living there. This is not merely a conquest to gain territory. There is a viciousness in the destruction that has a righteous zeal. These armies won't leave anyone alive. They are, like it says in verse 17, like serpents can't be charmed and are focused on their target. The comparison of these armies to snakes brings to mind the sin of Adam HaRishon. He was tricked by the snake, and the snake was punished by being condemned to slither and to fight humanity by biting its heel. Here, the kastim are the proxy for the snake exacting punishment against the children of Adam, who also did not listen to the commandments of Hashem. The Mishpatot Zahav explains why the snakes are not charmed by whispers. He says that those whispers are an allusion to tefillah. the tefillos to be saved will have no impact, as tefillos without change are meaningless. We must want to improve, not just use the tefillos to get what we want. In the last few psukim, Yirmiyahu heard how the Nevi'i Sheker and the nation will be punished for all they have done, and he has conflicting feelings. Verse 18, on the one hand, Mavligisi ale yagon alai, though I would take comfort against sorrow, the punishment should give Yirmiyahu some level of encouragement, as evil is not prevailing. Nonetheless, libi davai, my heart is faint within me. Yirmiyahu is broken from the pain of the Charban and all the people who will be killed and tortured. How can his heart not break when he hears verse 19? Hine kol shavas basami me'aretz marachakim. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people from a land far off. Hashem ein b'tzion, imalka ein ba. They are in gullus and they are sobbing. Is not Hashem in Tzion? Is not her king in her? Hashem's response is equally heartbreaking. Madua hichisuni b'fslilehem b'havle nechar. Why have you angered me with your idols, with foreign nothingness, strange vanities? The people have hope, which keeps getting dashed. Verse 20. Avar katsir kala kayetz. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. The times that should have been good, and should have good memories associated with them, this summer, with its warmth and family and good food, is a time of hope and aspirations. The nation went through a summer, and it was miserable. Vanachnu lo noshanu, and we were not saved. Yirmiyahu repeats how broken he is about the suffering and pain his people are experiencing. Verse 22, Hashem responds, Hatzari ein begilad, imrofe ein sham? Is there no balm in Gilad? Is there no physician there? Gilad is a center for medicine. They have antidotes for poison and doctors to heal. The Mitzudas David says this is a mashal, a parable. Just like Gilad has doctors, the Jewish people have resources to help them. They have Nevi'im, they have the Torah scholars, who could direct the people to the correct path. So the question remains, Kimadua lo alsa aruchas basami? Why then is not the health of my daughter, my nation, recovered? Why haven't they recovered? The reason is because they are still sinning. This hits Yirmiyahu very hard. Verse 23. Mi yitein roshi mayim, ve'ini mekor dima. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were a fountain of tears. Ve'efke yomam v'layla es chalalei bas ami. That I might cry day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. In this parak, we learn more details about the destruction. We heard not just about the burning of the Beis HaMikdash, which we heard about in the last parak, but about the pain and the suffering and the hopelessness of the people. This parak describes the vicious attacks against the people and ends with Yirmiyahu grief-stricken by what he knows will come. These psukim are read on Tisha B'Av as the Haftorah. The Mishpat of Zahav interprets verse 14 loosely so that we can be applied to this day, which I think is relevant to all of us. As we mourn, we should ask, Alma anachnu yoshvim? Why are we sitting? Why are we sitting on the floor mourning? How is this changing us? When we finish the fast, will we be like people at the Charban who denied any wrongdoing and therefore removed from themselves any chance of change? Hey asfu v'navo el arei hamitzar. Let us gather together as one people to our fortified cities, which for us is let us gather to our shuls that offer us protection, spiritual protection. We need to all come together to mourn as one. V'nidma sham, and let us be silent there. Our shuls, especially on Tisha B'Av, are not meant to be social events. Being in shul is a time to reflect and connect with Hashem. Ki Hashem Elokeinu Hadimanu Vayashkenu Mei Rosh. Because Hashem, our God, has silenced us and made us drink from poisoned waters. This year has been full of suffering. Why? Ki Chatanu LaHashem. The suffering is coming because we sinned to Hashem. It wasn't the fault of anti-Semites. It wasn't the problem of the economy. It wasn't a disease. It was because of our sins. Unlike the people from the time of Yirmiyahu, who ignored what they did and never looked at themselves as a source of any problems, We accept the responsibility of what we have done wrong and we want to improve. Thank you for studying together, Le'iwai Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.